That's the movie you wanted to see? There wasn't even any good sex in it. Had to read the whole fucking movie. Fucking subtitled. Some guy from a road crew recommended it to you? A fucking subtitled movie? What's going on, huh? Oh, what's going on? You got a girlfriend or something? You're hiding me from her?
I don't have a girlfriend, all right? I like you. I came here because I don't want to show my face in law. I told everybody I was going to win that fight and get back on track. I told my daughter I was going to get a bigger apartment so she could move in. You don't think I wanted to call you? I was embarrassed. I mean, I'm sick of being a fucking disappointment.
You really think your family's looking out for you?
Don't say that at all.
What else can I say after what you told me?
Now there was a time when you loved me so.
And welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew. Oh shit, there's no one else there.
This is Douglas. And this is the BBC.
It's actually, this is CNN. BBC, I know. Don't know that.
Yes, they say you're listening.
Look, BBC. Guys, yes. Let's stop lying to our audience. We are Fox News.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
We probably are, because nothing that we said has any bearing with actual fact. So probably Fox News.
I mean, the movies we talk about most of the time are real, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's as close as we come.
Yep.
Really kind of sad.
So I guess I should start out, because I have to make a confession.
Oh no, not again.
I've gone back to the dark side, and all for the wrong reasons. This is half of the reason why this podcast is starting so late. I'm kind of happy Damien showed up a bit late today, because I found there was a problem.
I
reinstalled Windows this weekend.
What?
I reinstalled Windows this weekend.
What? I'm sorry, wait. I'm sorry, what now?
I reinstalled Windows this
weekend. So a while ago when you were shouting at your computer.
It was you arguing with Windows.
We just assumed that it was Dell hardware giving you issues, but now that you've come out and told, is it Windows 8?
It's Windows Vista.
Oh!
Andrew!
This podcast is over.
Andrew.
For two reasons.
Andrew.
One, his computer is about to crash in about 30 seconds. And two, I don't converse with people that use Windows Vista. As a general rule.
As a general, that's not a bad rule.
Yeah,
if I'm being
clear
honest.
That if you use Vista, you're some kind of retard.
Yes.
Because why else would you?
I'm pretty sure something will go wrong
with
this podcast.
Why are you using Windows? I just want to know why.
Yeah, what in God's name happened?
I needed to test some applications. And it needed a Windows server to run.
Andrew, do you not have VMware or VirtualBox or something?
I was trying to run it in VirtualBox, but it was running too slow.
Ah.
It couldn't run virtually well.
Ah, yeah, that's crappy hardware.
But Windows requires you to wipe everything off the drive. It's not like you can partition.
No, you can partition.
No, you can do...
No, you can. What will happen is Windows will override the master boot record, and
right.
So you can't actually get to your Ubuntu, but there are ways of going into the live CD and
right.
Adjusting the boot
okay.
record so that you can
right.
dual boot.
Because I know that... I know there's a way to do it, but I just remember it being easier to install Windows
it is
first,
always easier, yes.
And then
yes.
Yeah. But anyways, let's move away from technology.
I'm sorry,
this
what?
Is not a tech podcast as much as Damon and Douglas would love it to be.
It's TUTP, what you talking about?
That's for the weekends. This is the Unnamed Movie Podcast time. And I guess we'll start out the way we usually start out, with going, Douglas, what have you been watching?
Douglas, okay. Well,
he's been watching Apple shares fall into the ground.
Can you believe it? Apple is now below $600.
Facebook shares falling into the ground.
No, Facebook is on the rise. Facebook.
From $40.
No, wait. Forget. First of all, Facebook $23. IPO'd at $37. I agree they dropped like a tank to 17. However, since they got to 17, they are now up to 27. They're up 10 bucks.
That's not bad.
Does this mean Jesse Eisenberg is poor now?
No, he's a little bit richer.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, probably.
So I have watched quite a few things this week.
Horseshit. I'll leave that for a second.
But before we actually get into what I watched, I want us to play a little game.
Okay.
And our game is Who is Correct?
Oh, yeah.
Who is right?
I remember this. So, Andrew Robinson was incorrect in saying that Bourne Legacy is trash. Damon White was absolutely correct in saying that that movie is awesome.
Now, let us see what will the official Tump approval be. Will it be with siding with Andrew, saying that this is rubbish, or will it be siding with Damien?
Douglas, you know the movie's good.
I know the movie's good. Yeah. I saw The Bourne Legacy this week, and that movie is average at best.
Okay.
That movie's actually pretty poor.
hooray! Comes down on my side.
That movie is not that great. It's just not very entertaining. You spoke about him,
the chems battling. The chems.
Okay, that Andrew, don't ever do that again. That never happened. That just shush. The wolf fight was not a fight. That was kind of lame.
That's pretty awesome.
Whatever.
And Douglas, he fought a wolf. It's pretty awesome.
This movie was just, it was very much paint by numbers.
It's okay, Douglas.
It wasn't that good.
I remember a time, not that long ago, that you had disparaging words to say about Avengers.
You're expecting the apology.
Just going to point to that and go, so, in a couple of weeks' time, I'll have an apology.
And you have accepted in advance.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have watched quite a few things.
Shit.
Damien is his mouth is open. It is agape. At the list of movies that I have seen.
You actually watched movies.
Yes, I did. Well, first, I want to at least, let's just put 3 in 1. We've got a mini feature it. As I have said, as Damien has said, as Andrew has said, he won't even touch, which I don't know why he won't, but I recently purchased the 22 James Bond movies. Everything up to Quantum of Solace. And I have started, yes?
Oh, yeah, no, everything up to Quantum of Solace.
Yeah. I have started, yes, I wish I could get Skyfall, but I can't. Yeah, I have started to...
The 23 set will be out next year.
I'm sure it will be. Actually, you know what I really like about this set? Well, first off, I hate the menus and the generally crappy quality of the discs themselves. But I love that. So it's a very attractive display of discs in these, like, they're bound like books, and you have each page with a bunch of discs, and I love that the last page has a spot reserved for Skyfall. That's kind of fun. It's kind of awesome. I hope that this means that they're going to send me an email as an official purchaser of this version to say that I get a discounted Skyfall disc for just the disc without all the crappy stuff.
I like this dream world that you live in.
But anyway, I thought I was going to make this into a shorter spiel, but clearly that did not happen. I have seen the first three movies. I have watched Dr. No from Russia with Love and Goldfinger. I almost said GoldenEye. I always mix up those because of the gold.
I love gold.
I think those movies are, without a doubt, awesome. I forgot how good Dr. No was and how good actually specifically From Russia with Love was. The
best Bond movie.
They are James Bond ass James Bond movies.
Man, they are fantastic. I have started Thunderball, and I'm getting some distinct Austin Powers vibes with this movie. So we shall see next week when I have returned and gone a little bit further in the Bond archive. How
Damien?
Yes.
I have a thought.
Yes.
I feel like sharing. Mm-hmm. Douglas usually doesn't watch that many movies, right?
Yes.
Do you find it odd that it's James Bond movies that inspire him to watch this many films this week?
Oh, wait. You haven't heard the list yet. Damien has been privy to a right. piece of it, so but you haven't quite seen. I have actually stepped up, Andrew.
Yeah,
he's stepped
whoa,
up.
Oh, okay, all right. I'll
he's
step
watched
back,
significantly
then.
More movies than he usually watches. Even if so we take all the James Bond movies, he's watched.
Yes.
I'll go take a movies. Nap and I'll be back in half an hour. Then.
No, you cannot go yet because I have another bone to pick with you.
Oh, you've seen War Horse.
No, I haven't. But I've come close. I watched a movie that, yet again, we discussed last week. I watched Killer Joe. I watched the rest of that movie. And, Andrew, you are wrong. That movie is okay. I agree with you that the end is clearly shocking. But that's about it. This movie is not top 10 material. Fuck it. It's not even top 100 material. It's average.
There's been some bad movies that came out this year.
That's true.
Yeah. Bear that in mind before we start saying
I should,
mean things about movies.
I should, but at least on principle, I'm going to stand on this one.
All right, but the major argument around this movie was the Matthew McConaughey bit. So, what yeah. was his act? Was his is well, his acting worth an Oscar?
Because
that
no,
is what
I don't think so. I don't want to say. I mean, Matthew McConaughey is a decent actor. Right. Yes, he's made his name and made his money mm-hmm. in a lot of fairly questionable movies. but nobody, I think, can really say that he can't act. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, we've seen it in various decent movies that he has actually been in. This one, I don't think. I mean, he did it well, but. I don't think, definitely not in a year where you've got Joaquin Phoenix,
do you see
where you've got Philip Seymour, where I'm sure, even though I haven't seen it yet, you've got Daniel Day-Lewis. You know, he's not in that level.
Have you seen
level.
Lincoln Lawyer?
No, I haven't watched that one. Is that good?
It's okay.
Oh, okay.
I was wondering if it is, if you could have shed some light, because I still haven't seen Killer Joe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if it was kind of that type of performance, but you haven't seen it, so. And Andrew clearly loves
yeah,
Killer
clearly
Joe,
loves this,
so
yeah.
asking him is a waste of time. He's going to tell me that Killer Joe.
Can we expect another round of Who's Right next week?
No. I've other movies.
Damien knows I'm right already, so it's okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I watched two additional movies. One kind of buck the trend. What I've been trying to do, actually, well, more than one, but James Bond doesn't count because James Bond is James Bond. But what I've been trying to do lately is to beef up my 2012 movie arsenal for what I'm sure is coming soon, which is the top 10 podcast episode. So a movie that came out this year that I really want to watch is 2 Days in New York. However,
that's
I've
a Chris Rock movie. Right?
Yes, that's Chris Rock and Julie Delpy.
That's the Chris Rock movie. Right?
With Julie Delpy.
No.
Directed and written by Julie Delpy.
That is fine. You remember how Chris Rock is in that movie? Remember that part? All right, let's play a little game. Name the good Chris Rock performance.
Pootie Tang.
Name the good.
he was in Bad Company.
What was that movie with Anthony Hopkins?
That's what I was just saying. Bad Company, I think that's the name of it.
Alright, so let me start over again, because it's clear that you guys don't understand the rules.
Oh, okay, sorry. He was in Lethal Weapon 4.
Right. Name the good. Underline quotations. good. Not great, just good. Or name the acceptable Chris Rock performance. Just one. I just need one.
Good hair.
He wasn't acting in that.
What I did like that movie a lot, though.
I love that
movie. I know, I remember Damon saying it's a good movie.
Yeah, but he wasn't acting in that.
I used that one.
You could say Dogma.
But anyways, Douglas, 2 years in New York. What are you saying about it?
Right, so I really want to watch 2 years in New York. However, that is a sequel to a movie by the name of 2 years in Paris. And I decided I was still going to watch 2 days in New York until I pressed play and the first scene had something to do with the Hebrew Hammer, who was the co-star in the first movie. And I said, okay, that's it. I have to, you know, before I watch this, I must watch the first movie and so I can, you know, catch up. So I watched 2 days in New York.
In Paris.
Sorry, in Paris. Thank you. Those names are so close together. The movie was, it was all right. I wasn't as big a fan.
I'm going to cut you. I'm going to cut you right now. So that movie was all right.
Yeah.
And it had better actors.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to get to that side of the argument now.
Okay.
So, that movie was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. I won't give it bad, but it was only okay. And I was so sad because this movie, and I guess that's probably why, because whenever you copy things, it, you know, something gets lost in translation. We're clearly copies of what she did with Ethan Hawke and Richard Linklater in Before Sunrise and Sunset. And that, I guess, because I have those movies in mind, I have a very high benchmark, a high bar that they needed to, or she needed to pass. And she just didn't. And that was sad for me. And then I said, well, hold on. If this is part one, there are two things we have to worry about. One, generally sequels are not as good. And two, this one fucking has Chris Rock in it. Right? So we've got two major issues on our hands.
It was in Down to Earth. Tiger Woods.
So, got two major issues. But then I say, you know what? I'll go to Wikipedia. I will see how... well, or I go to Wikipedia and Rotten Tomatoes and all that good stuff, and I see how well people liked, or how much people liked 2 days in New York, and it seemed people liked it pretty much, like they thought it was a decent movie. And I was almost sold and I said, wait, what did they think of the first movie? The first movie got a shitload of praise too. So long story short, I'm not sure if I'm actually going to watch a second movie.
You've psyched yourself out of watching the movie.
I kind of have.
Impressive.
And now last, but definitely not least, I watched The Silver Linings Playbook, starring Bradley Cooper and, to my surprise, Jennifer
Lawrence. She was in the trailers.
Well, no. Here's what happened. To my surprise, let me tell you why. One, I never actually watched any trailers. I don't think.
Okay.
Maybe
I'm pretty sure.
Did we watch
about
a trailer
one
on
of the
here?
Trailers on
so this. If we did, then I saw one and forgot it. That's all. Because you know me, I don't really watch trailers too much anymore.
It wasn't French, so stop paying attention.
Right. But what happened to me in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the movie for the longest while, right? And for the first half an hour, I said, This woman looks like Jennifer Lawrence. A lot like Jennifer Lawrence. But this is like an old... This is a woman. She looks like she's in her 20s. Mm-hmm. You know, she looks like...
She's not Hunger Games.
Exactly. She, you know, Jennifer Lawrence in my mind is like a...
She dyed her hair.
So when I look at this grown-ass woman, I'm like, okay, this must be Jennifer Lawrence's older sister. And it wasn't until halfway in the movie when I was like, shit, it is Jennifer Lawrence, isn't it? And I said that to Michelle, was with me, and I said that to her, and she's like, yeah, of course. I was like, what? But anyway, this movie is fucking awesome.
So the internet keeps telling
me. This movie is fantastic. I am not going to go as far as to say, you know, Bradley Cooper deserves an Oscar, which is what I hear from Andrew.
I haven't seen the film.
But that's what you said last week.
I said that's what the internet is saying.
So you said it.
Right. So you admit that you said it. You did not say
everybody
it.
Guys, the unnamed movie podcast.
But yeah, no. I apologize, Andrew, for bringing your name into things.
Why were we going to start off 4 years in apologizing to Andrew? What is the point?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Fuck you, Andrew.
Oh, no. Thank no, you. We're sorry. Oh, okay.
But no, I think he did well, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think just the movie itself overall was really good, and the story, what it was trying to tell. I mean, it's a fairly... The thing about this movie is that it's a fairly... I wouldn't say paint-by-numbers, but it's, you know, your usual kind of love story. Somebody gets spurned in the first 5 minutes, and then they develop a relationship with somebody who they never thought they could.
But those movies live and die by execution.
Exactly.
It's not about trying to tell a brand new
No, of course. Story. Of course, yeah. But, you know, you hear a lot of people talk about originality, and it's kind of...
You know, a love
story? It's two coins, but not even a love story. There really is, no matter what genre or what you're doing in any movie, it's been told before in some form. It has.
No, that's not what
I'm okay.
I'm an idiot, yeah. Don't mind me.
Wait, hold on.
You can't. No matter how hard you try, there's no possible way you're going to connect the dots to this one.
Alright, I shall just. Right. I shall just move on.
I can give you a hint and it still won't help.
Give it
Dave Attell and Hitlersaurus.
Damn it. Yeah. I need to bone up on my Dave Attell because he is a funny
oh
ass
my
man.
God.
I love him. I just.
Wait, hold on. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. I kind of blanked out there for a moment. Yeah. How did we get to Hitlersaurus?
Right. Douglas said every story, you know, has been told.
Oh, okay.
Before.
Sorry. Right. Okay. All right. I get it now.
And I started laughing. So Douglas tried to find out, you know, put the pieces together. Why is it that David is laughing? But there is no way. This one is so ultra specific. There's no way.
Yes, but so this movie, as I says, you know, a tried and true. But I think, as he says, execution. And I really loved, because I don't know if you know. Well, I'm sure it was in the trailer. Again, I don't remember shit from the trailer. Bradley Cooper is a crazy person, right? And I really like, and it's very oppressive. It's very in your face, the way the camera moves in the first half of the movie, because he is very crazy and he's all over the place and he's very active, and I guess the camera takes on that persona essentially. Yeah. And I think that was really well done.
Was it shaky cam or kind of shifting?
It was more shifty cam, okay. Not quite shaky, but I guess it was probably, you know, some of it was handheld, but it was more, you know, left to right rather than just...
there weren't any fight scenes.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
So my only question for you, Douglas, is did you like it more than The Fighter?
Andrew, do you know... Wait, no. Hold on, wait. Andrew, do you know what my stance on The Fighter is? If you did,
I've
I don't
forgotten.
Think you'd answer
I've
that.
I've forgotten. Yeah,
Douglas hates that movie more than he hates most people.
The Fighter is not a good movie, Andrew. I don't know how you... forget this, seeing as you were one of its largest or its biggest proponents. Like,
because no, we just assumed you were wrong. Right? I assumed this.
I was hoping.
Right?
I was giving you an
wrong,
opportunity to give an apology. Right?
Yeah, the movie's great, and you're so wrong. I mean, I get why you don't like the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg is in that movie.
Yes.
And for a long time, hating Mark Wahlberg was the standard thing to do, because he was in a whole lot of garbage.
Yes.
And it is only recently that Mark Wahlberg has been able to kind of turn that around.
Has he turned it around? Does one movie
Other Guys
turning it around?
Ted,
to Other Guys? Oh yeah, Ted was kind of good.
The movie with what's her face from 30 Rock?
Tina Fey
and
yeah, I don't like that movie.
Yeah, but he was good in it.
What movie is that?
Yeah.
Date Night
was bad. So Silver Linings Playbook, that's what I was talking about. Really good movie,
good.
Top 10 material. Brad Cooper does well.
Jennifer Lawrence is.
I can't even think of her that way. She's 16.
Yeah, when was she ever 16?
When I knew her. When I watched her in Winter's Bone, right. She was 16. When
was she 16 then?
When I watched her as Katniss, she was 16.
Right? That movie's really bad.
Yeah, that movie's not that good. But I told you this.
Have you seen the Screen Junkies has this thing where they have truthful trailers or something like that,
mm-hmm.
Where they have the guy with the movie voice do like the real trailers for a lot of
these movies. Honest trailers honest is what trailers, you're talking about,
and they are terrific. Oh my god, the Twilight ones are tremendous. Their works of art.
Did you enjoy the Prometheus one?
Yeah. I enjoyed the Dark Knight Rises one. And I enjoyed the Dark Knight one because after tearing into the movie for about 2 hours, at the end of the trailer, they're like, who are we kidding? This movie's fucking awesome. Okay, so Andrew.
So Damien, what have you been watching?
Sure. This week I saw Ted, finally.
Yeah, that was a fun movie, wasn't it?
And Ted is really good.
Yeah.
Not the biggest.
Flash Gordon.
I love that shit.
Yeah. Flash Gordon.
Have you actually watched Flash Gordon, by the way?
I've never seen Flash Gordon.
I think maybe I love this movie just a little bit more because not only have I watched Flash Gordon, but I watched Flash Gordon when I was really young. So there's this thing named Nostalgia Goggles. Oh, man. That movie totally turns a corner. It's so hilarious.
That movie. But... as in, at no point was the movie a bad movie. From the get-go when they said, you know, he was this magical bear and then the whole world moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two of them grew up and went, okay, so someone actually spent time and wrote a decent movie. I could see from, and then the rest of the movie was just kind of fun.
Personally, like...
him banging
on the
was funny.
That was,
I'm not a big fan of the ending of that movie, but I think the biggest plus for me that made me enjoy it when I went and saw it was, thank Christ, Patrick Stewart did narration for this film.
Like, there's just all the little details in the movie were just, like, well thought out. I kind of expected a blown-out version of Family Guy, but it wasn't that. It was... you know, they came up with that ridiculous premise, but they thought it through, and it was funny for most of the way. I didn't get the Flash Gordon thing, so I'm sure for people like you who have some connection with that, like, lost your minds when you saw it. Because I saw it and was laughing, and I didn't have the context. Like, when he was driving the car and it did the whole... lights thing, and then when they did the cocky, it was a legitimately funny move, funnier than I thought it had any right to be. And my expectations were as low as any movie. I just watched it because I said Mark Wahlberg is in there, and he kind of turned the corner for me. So
I love how one movie turns the corner.
No.
Because take away this movie, you've got other guys.
Other guys.
No, you're not allowed to say Date Night because he was in there for all of us.
Fight
off. He was funny. He was the only funny part of that entire movie.
Fair enough. But, are you including Fighter in that list?
And Fighter.
Oh, yes. I forget that you like that movie.
Right.
I don't understand why.
He was the worst actor of all time. And then he kind of dug himself out of that position. And so I said, all right, let me get
Am I the only one here who's a fan of I Heart Huckabees?
I don't think I've seen that movie.
I saw it originally when it came out. I remember not liking it, but honestly, I don't remember much about the movie. I could probably watch it tomorrow and love it.
It's the other David O. Russell film with Mark Wahlberg, Jason Schwartzman, and the Dustin Hoffman is in it.
Oh, you know...
it's a really weird, quirky movie, but I enjoyed it a lot.
Is that a movie with the tracksuits?
Tracksuits?
Yeah, everybody wore tracksuits.
No, that's the Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, right.
No. I think it's the most Wes Anderson David O. Russell is ever going to go. I think that's a weird way to put it.
That's actually, speaking of David O. Russell, I didn't even know he directed Silver Linings Playbook. And
that's kind of why I brought up The Fighter as a comparison.
I figured as much now that I remember. Like, was Three Kings really the last movie he did before I Heart Huckabees?
Wow. Doesn't mean that many movies.
Yeah.
All right. I was talking about Ted. That is pretty awesome.
Hasn't done very many
Stop
movies.
It. We're recording the podcast.
I also have only watched three of them, and two of them I like. What? Okay.
Are you quite finished?
Am I? I'm not sure. Hold on.
Oh, he's looking at Audacity.
No, I just put it in fair here so that.
So Damien, what else have you been watching?
Right. So I saw.
Did we do a countdown?
Yes, we did. What is wrong with you?
I told you I'm really tired. I'm sorry, guys.
So Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Peña did a movie this year. Andrew hates this movie.
Yes, he does.
A whole lot. And Andrew is once again very wrong.
Okay, I can watch this now. All right.
The movie is a good movie. I don't know what Andrew.
But why does everyone have a camera?
Aww.
Andrew.
Hold on, is it top 10 good?
No, it's not top 10 good. What it is.
Fuck that then.
No. It's so distracting.
It's a movie you won't regret watching even for a second.
Like I don't doubt Gyllenhaal and Peña's performances. Those are great.
Right.
And the movie on its own, if it was a regular movie, it probably would have been a pretty good movie for me. But the camera thing distracts me so hard in that movie.
So let me explain what Andrew is talking about. What they're essentially saying is that these two guys went out, shot somebody, and so he is now documenting all of their travels together for both for the police department and for this class that he's doing.
And Peña or
Gyllenhaal. Right. So they put these little cameras on their vests,
mm-hmm.
on their shirts, and he has a handheld camera. And so the first 15 minutes or so, it's just from these cameras. But then, in order to facilitate the telling a actual story, what they do is they have shots coming in from cameras that clearly aren't there. They're mm-hmm. non-existent cameras. Andrew has a problem with that.
No. Hold on.
You can tell me I'm wrong. Cameras, do you mean non-existent cameras that are made to feel as if they're home video?
Right. So it's still shot like it's someone that has a camera.
Uh-huh.
But that camera isn't held by anybody.
But that's the thing, Damien. People are holding the camera. There are so many scenes where they're cutting to the bad guys in the back of a van. And in every one of these scenes, they make sure to let you know that someone in the room is holding a camera by having a character go, "Dog, why are you filming us? Turn that off now," right. And have someone put their hand in, and it becomes so aggravating, and then it becomes even more.
That happens.
Even it gets even bigger times. Towards the end of the movie.
It happens three times, Douglas Robinson. What he just said happens three times. There's a drive-by in the beginning. There's a drive-by in the middle.
And there's a drive-by
towards it. Happens three times, but I thought his problem was there's certain parts of the movie where they have to shoot an actual movie. They have to give you a sense of position. So mm-hmm. they have to show you where the bad guys are mm-hmm. and show you where the good guys are.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is still filmed as if, to keep the consistency, it is still filmed as if there's someone holding kind of a handy cam. There's not a whole lot of shaky cam in those scenes. But it is clear that they want you to, they don't want to break the motif that they have going. It is also clear that nobody has a camera at that point. That is a director shooting these scenes to give you some idea of the dimensions of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you can overlook that, there is a shining movie behind this. And you was able to do that. But the movie surrounds these two guys, and their performances are pretty much the best performances both these guys have ever given.
Wait, sorry, what?
Both Gyllenhaal and Pena. You're
telling me that Gyllenhaal has acted better than he has acted in any other
in
movie?
Anything else. You've never seen him this good in anything.
But Gyllenhaal is pretty fucking good in some of his movies.
In already. Some of his movies, yes.
So but he's better than
he is better than good? All of that wow. in this movie. And wow. Michael Pena. And we've seen him do a wide range of things. So we know he can act. But this is like the two of them. First of all, the chemistry between the two of them is just ridiculous. You believe that they are friends in this police force within 5 minutes, like best friends. The jokes that they tell, the situations that they're in. The movie is just it is a cop drama, and it is great, Douglas. Like, no, it is not top 10 great,
mm-hmm.
but you, at least not for me, but I'm sure, and I've seen people write that, you know, it's their favorite movies, but I wouldn't knock anybody for having this movie way up on their list, because it is a fantastic movie. Except for Andrew's issue with the camera thing, which, mind you, is a legitimate issue. There's ways that could have worked around it, or they could have just skipped the whole handheld video.
Made a proper movie.
Just shot the movie. But I think that the movie worked. It felt more gritty.
Look, they spent the first 15 minutes setting up the whole idea of the cameras and going like, oh, this is going to make sense. And then right after that, they break every rule that they set up.
Yeah, but didn't we all like Chronicle, and Chronicle did pretty much the same thing?
Which one is Chronicle?
The Superpowers MTV movie.
Oh, I've never watched that before. Is that the one where these guys get some sort of power to crush things or something like that? And we watched a trailer, but I never actually watched that movie.
The movie's pretty good.
Really?
Way better than it had any right to be. The ending is kind of horrendous,
mm-hmm.
but you get about 120 minutes of solid movie work before that terrible, terrible ending. But they did this pretty much the same thing.
I need to buy Jumbo.
No, you shouldn't buy Jumper.
I love that
What
movie.
You want is that one scene where he jumps a car and throws it at somebody. And you can
No, I know that
minute.
That movie is so bad, but
the
like,
final
it's just,
fight scene
I just love
is
it to
pretty
death.
Good. But that movie is hot
the
garbage.
The movie is bad, yes. It is disgusting, but I don't know. It's my kind of disgusting, I guess.
Fair enough. Yeah, the movie, like, Andrew's complaint is valid.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you'll be able to look past that. And to be honest, I think Andrew's making a meal.
Yeah, a mountain.
Like, it's really not that big. If he said he couldn't deal with the shaky cam, then I'd have gone, well, that is a thing that either you can manage it or you can't. But that's not his issue. He just can't stand the fact that everybody has a camera, which is such
it seems way too convenient.
It's a movie. Remember how this is a regular movie?
And to be let's
and
let's
if we're going
about
to talk
it,
about things
talk
that
about
are
exactly.
way too convenient, we reviewed a movie last week. End of the movie in a park. No, if we're talking about things being overly convenient, Ruby Sparks.
Oh yeah.
We're talking about things being overly convenient.
I chose that movie.
Yes. At the end of that movie, that seems kind of convenient, doesn't it, Andrew? Ignoring.
I'm not going to dignify you with an answer.
Ignoring you and moving along. I also saw I guess the only stop motion cartoon to come out this year, Paranorman.
I almost watched that movie. That movie looks really good.
Is
it
that movie.
Stop motion is cheaper than CG? Or which, I'm pretty sure CG is still more expensive. But I don't
know.
Know.
It's probably You see, because the thing about CG is it's really expensive because of all the computers involved. And the thing about stop motion is I assume there are quite a few expenses because of how long it takes and the artistry of the
it's not necessarily
like one head. It might be 10 different heads for the same shot. Actually,
with this
one,
I had to get a 3D printer and print like thousands of them. But Paranorman is about this boy who can see dead people. And
Sixth Sense,
not so much. And the whole town thinks he's weird, until of course the night when bad things are going to happen, and he's the only one that can save them. This is a cartoon movie for children and
of course,
for people.
That night is Halloween. Yes.
No.
No. Okay. Not so bad.
They're better than that. The first of all, the stop motion is incredible. It is, like, there's scenes in there where I'm sure there's CG work, but there isn't CG work, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. It is nothing short of spectacular, some of the things that they've been. I guess with 3D printing, you can do more than you could before, but it is, like, it really looks like a step above any other or this stop motion work that you've seen. And the story that is told is really fun, and the ending payoff is pretty good. There's no surprises here. He saves the town in the end. No shit. But it was enjoyable from start to finish. It felt like not the best Pixar movies, but like the middle tier Pixar movies, and it was just fun to see that CG is not the only way. I remember a couple years ago Disney lied to all of us and said they'll be putting out cartoon movies every year. They made one and jumped off that bad one. You know, like, we're making Princess and the Frog and we're never doing this again.
No.
Oh shit,
Tangled.
I totally forgot about that.
Tangled is CG.
Tangled is CG?
150%. That horse,
Tangled is CG?
Maximus, is the greatest CG horse of all time. Yes, Tangled is CG.
How is it that I remember it being a cartoon?
I have no idea. You really are tired. Your brain is actively shutting down.
How fun is that opening scene of Paranorman when they're watching the TV show?
I didn't want to give that away because that is such, just getting into the movie is really fun because there's, it's not really spoilers. They're playing up the fact that he can see dead people, and he is a big fan of horror movies. And so they play with that a lot to start out the movie. And the movie is just a fun time. And especially this movie puts Brave in context. I was a big fan of Brave when I saw it. But I don't know if that was just straight Pixar bias. I did enjoy a lot of the movie. But this movie is better than Brave is. And Brave is Pixar. It is not their best, but it's still a Pixar movie. So Paranorman is fantastic. And what I was saying about the tiers of Pixar movies, Cars 2 is at the bottom. Up and Finding Nemo is at the top. And then everything else is somewhere in the middle. Paranorman is somewhere in the middle. So, it is still quality entertainment, but it is not Pixar's best. I don't remember what company this is, but it is clearly some of
is
their
best. Is it DreamWorks?
Was it DreamWorks, Andrew? You remember?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
When is How to Train Your Dragon 2 coming out? Is that next year?
I believe that's 2014.
God damn it. I want that part to that movie. I watched that recently with my niece that doesn't understand anything.
That movie's really fun.
She's really stupid.
I love that movie.
But she's also like 13, 14 months. She's retarded. How to Train Your Dragon is stupendous. that's pretty much what I've seen. We should talk about Walking Dead one of these episodes now that I've caught up. Hey guys, Walking Dead is still pretty good. I can't believe
it. I was actually thinking what we should be doing is we'd leave Walking Dead until the actual season finale next year. And maybe, I don't know if you're watching this, Damian.
Mm-hmm.
Is everyone watching Homeland?
Yes.
No. Nope. I've been watching a boatload of Downton Abbey and keeping up with Ben and Kate. And everything.
No, I mean, as in, is it a show that you're planning to finish when the season is done? Because I think there's one episode left.
Well, I haven't seen a single episode. No, I saw the first two episodes of the first season, but that not a big fan of.
Yeah, I wasn't either. It's a show that builds.
That is what everyone says.
I am now the biggest fan of that show.
And so, but before I watch that, I kind of want to watch Suits. I hear that Suits.
Oh, Suits is
good.
Fucking amazing.
I keep seeing one episodes. I
love it.
It's a USA show, so that's all you really need.
Yeah,
I'd like to see the rest of it. I hear that's great. But that's pretty much all I've seen. Andrew. Oh yeah, you can talk all you want, because even if it crashes on this side,
it'll still be fine.
Yes.
It'll only just end up being an editing nightmare. As I'm like, how does these pieces all fit?
Douglas has been giving them special names. So it's going to be more of a nightmare than you currently think. Your brother is an idiot. I'm sure you're
an idiot or a genius.
There's a fine line. It's clearly on the ideal line.
But anyways, what I've been watching this week, and I'll keep it short. I saw. Well, I guess I'll use Damien's general mode of going through. I'll go from worst to best film I saw this week. The worst movie I watched this week was I finally got around to watching Michael Haneke's Amour. So, this movie, if you don't know, is about an elderly couple and about the deterioration of health of one of the members of the couple and the tedious and meandering plot of watching that person's health go down the toilet. This movie makes you feel as if you're aging. And I don't know if there's any worse thing that a movie can do. It perfectly... And the worst part about it is that it puts its point forward perfectly at the very same time. Because the movie, just after its name, the French word for love, is about that. It's about the idea of love. And there's so many movies which are all about... the relationship that ends up going like, oh, we might just get married next week, and then it ends right there, or whatever. But one of the biggest things that anyone has to deal with in that kind of a structure is the question of, yeah, it's all fun and nice when we're all just being friends, but what happens when you get to the point where she asks you to wipe her ass for her, because she can't? Like, can you do that for her? And... it does that brilliantly, but goddamn is it just so meandering and so slow, and I think I fell asleep around 6 times watching this movie, having to stop, rewind, and continue. Oh, I would not recommend this on my worst enemy to watch this movie.
Do you remember when Andrew had love in his heart, when he was a warm person who would have fallen over these type of movies?
Yeah. I do recall such a person.
Right. Can you tell me what happened to is it work life? Is it corporate Andrew that has fully taken over at this point? Because the nice, sweet young man that started this podcast without ever said any of the things. I can imagine myself saying things like that. Not Andrew Robinson.
Have you seen his movie?
No, I've not.
Okay.
Maybe he's right.
What was that, Damien?
I'm sorry?
You said something there.
No, I didn't.
Okay. I have it on recording.
You think you do?
You think you do? Listen, I'm over here. I have a keyboard in front of me, and it actually does, believe it or not, include a delete button.
Alright, so the next movie I watched, I saw this movie, and Damon kind of half mentioned it a couple weeks ago, For a Good Time Call.
Yes.
And this movie is kind of fun. It's a really enjoyable movie, and, like, Justin Long, I mean, he's had so much fun playing tiny roles in movies for a while now. Like, whatever happened to him? Why isn't he starring in things
because
anymore?
Because he can't carry a movie. he cannot.
That's probably true. So, for anyone who doesn't know, this movie is about two women who don't like each other, who are forced into a situation in which they have to live together. And one of the women happens to work for a sex phone agent, phone sex agency. A sex phone.
Can I buy, is sexphone.com available? I need to own that domain. Good time call sex phone.
And then of course this becomes something in which they end up doing together as a business and bringing them together, and it's a really fun comedy, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. It's nothing that's going to break into anybody's lists, but as I said, it's a really fun movie. The last movie I want to talk about is the much discussed Holy Motors.
Yeah,
huh? Need to watch that.
Is that out? I definitely am going to watch that now.
I have it.
So, I'm not quite sure how much I can talk about without.
Can you leave the in every time you play with the internet? Audacity breaks.
So this movie is about a guy, Mr. Oscar, who. And we follow him in this one day as he goes about performing all of his appointments, which are all different performances that he has to give. And the movie, it's a very obtuse film, and that's the easiest way to put it, because it never really tries to give you anything other than, oh, he's going to do another performance at this point. It doesn't try to explain a lot. But at the same time, it does kind of give a feeling as to what it might want to be putting forward. And this is my theory as to what it really wants to put forward, in that it's talking about how media in general has become so large, has become so vast, that the stage is no longer just the theater, or when an actor goes to work on a movie, it's everywhere, that he's always playing a role. And I do find that relatively interesting. I just don't believe that this movie executes it very well. And some may say that I'm just saying this because the movie doesn't say it out loud for me. And maybe they're right. I'm probably going to revisit this movie before the year is over again to gauge how much I really enjoy this movie. But it does delve into the weird very often and very well.
Very French.
And very French.
You see, I know how to read this, you know. This is Andrew speak. Mm-hmm. So let me
translate it for you
people. What Andrew is saying right now is, Douglas, you're going to love this movie, but I think it's disgustingly bad. I think it's horrible, because I do not like anything that is not 1, 2, 3. By numbers. No, I don't know. Whatever. I'm just joking, Andrew. but no, the way you're saying it, though, you do sound like you're trying to skirt around the fact that you just absolutely hate it.
I think no. You see, my problem with the movie is its weirdness. To be honest, there is the final scene of the movie. It just throws something into the deep end, and you have no clue how to interpret it. And there are certain aspects as to what he performs in these appointments, which I have a lot of questions about, but of course I'm not going to ask them right now, because you guys haven't seen this movie yet.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, and I find it very weird that my two favorite moments out of this movie are musical moments. Music related moments. They're kind of really fun, but whatever. I just wanted to give it a note. It more than likely won't be hitting my top 10 list, but it is an interesting movie nonetheless. And that's basically what I've been watching.
What other than about your top 10 list, man.
I mean, you care, Damon. You know you care. This week in trailers, the first trailer I wanted to talk about is Upstream Color, which is the latest film by Shane Carruth, which is going to be showing at Sundance next year.
I have to apologize. I was born with a disfigurement where my head is made of the same material as the sun.
If you don't know the name Shane Carruth, he gave us the crazy-ass movie by the name of Primer.
Oh, wait, stop. This man directed Primer?
Yes.
The person that directed Primer directed a new movie?
Yes.
Why do they have a trailer?
Is there a list that I need to sign?
I mean, because seriously, yes, I would like to be on that list if there's a list. Did you not watch Primer?
What's the process?
Yes, you did.
Of me
Primer
watching
is
this
awesome.
Movie.
Listen.
You have to go to Sundance, yeah. Damien.
Sundance.
All right.
Let's do it.
Guess I have to do what I have to do.
Listen, we can get the Sundance kid in, you know, in a... fuck.
Yep. It was beautiful. I just watched a person's brain shut off. Mid-sentence. It was glorious.
Did the screensaver come up?
I'm tired. I'm sorry. I really want to sleep.
I was at work of art. That's why we need cameras in here. For moments.
So, Damien,
like,
what did you think of this trailer?
This trailer is cut for people who know what the Sundance Film Festival is. It is targeting people like the Thump hosts. You know, like when you see a great Nike ad, you go, that is great. It is for these people specifically. It is not for everybody. They've made this 3-minute Nike ad for crazy people who are going to go on YouTube and watch it. This is that equivalent. They know exactly who they're targeting with this ad. That is why they put from the director of Primer up front. Because they know once you see that you're hooked. There's no more conversations to be had. And then they put some artsy shots. Have the music, the indie trailer music behind it. And I think it's like 60 seconds. And then that's all you need. We know that's all you need. We won't waste your time. We're not, definitely not wasting my time. So the trailer
really
feels extremely specific. Yeah. But in the way that I have to watch this movie, it showed me nothing at all.
I have no clue what this movie is about.
I don't care either. That's the sad part. Not only don't I know.
Honestly, you know what though? This is a trailer really that we need for every movie. Because honestly, right? How many of us
doesn't work for every movie?
No, I know it doesn't, but hold on. How many of us can honestly say that most of our interest in whether we want to watch a movie that's about to come out is due to the flashing lights of the trailer?
Some movies.
Some, but yes. But how many out of the trailers that we watch? Maybe a 10? Maybe
20% max.
5%
I think,
max.
I think more times than not, it does the opposite effect. We're giving it an opportunity to let us scratch it off our list.
Right. So
than anything else.
Exactly. So honestly, most of the trailers that we maybe don't love, but that get us excited for a movie, are just actually a lot of the trailers. The trailer actually, as you say, brings the movie lower in our expectations, but we still want to watch it. Why? Because of who's involved. So this is the kind of trailer that we want. We didn't need to see what the movie was about. We didn't need to see any of the scenes. All we needed to know, directed by the director of Primer. For example, look at Lawless. All we needed to know.
But we panned that trailer.
Yeah, of course we did. We panned that trailer. But think about if that trailer was like this. Right?
All
right. Starring Tom Hardy. Gary Oldman. Right,
and in the fine print at the bottom.
Exactly, right? So this is all we need, people like us. We just want to know, is this somebody who has the track record that we agree with? The only way we need a regular trailer is if we know nobody.
To be fair, though, this trailer is not... In fact, this movie is not for a wide audience.
No, it is not.
So they know who they're targeting, and so they can put out trailers like this. There's a lot of films that want everybody to come and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they put out that and put it in a movie theater, two people will watch it, me and you.
Yes.
I've been to
a movie like that before. No, you
can't. Can I come and watch
the
movie with you
guys? No! No! Go away!
Only two. It's weird if there's three people.
Three's a crowd, Andrew. Come on.
I understand.
Watch it by yourself. So, Andrew, I assume that you enjoy this trailer as well. This
60
seconds of flashing lights.
Flashy, literally is 60 seconds of flashing lights. Like, as I told you guys when we started recording, I needed to rewatch this trailer because when I was looking at the list, I'm like, I don't remember what's in that trailer. I don't think I remember what's in it right now because honestly, it didn't give me anything. But at the same time, I'm going like Primer made another movie. And to be the God's honest truth, I didn't quite love Primer when I saw it. Because it felt so, it felt so crazy to me. It felt so mathematical that it went too far into detail and it lost itself for me. But I know that's the point. And at the same time, I'm interested to see what else they have to offer me.
This is the good thing about listening to old episodes, is hearing the crazy shit that Andrew used to say about movies. Good times. So, what's the second trailer that we're talking about? Oblivion, I think it is.
Yes, Oblivion.
I've been watching you, Jack. You're curious. What are you looking for in those books? Do they bring back old memories?
We have an unidentified impact.
Don't ask too many questions.
They are human.
This is ordering you to return to tower.
Jack, how do you know my name?
They're firing on survivors. Stand down!
The new movie from director Joseph Kosinski. And if you don't remember that name, it's because he's the man who brought us David Bowie's return as Ziggy Stardust in Tron Legacy.
Wait, what? Okay. What?
I like this game. I like picking out the worst part of actors and directors' track record.
But it's his only movie!
Yes, but you didn't have to point to that specific point of the movie. There's many other things in that movie that you could have pointed to.
But that is the best thing in the movie. It's that and the soundtrack.
But that's not David Bowie.
As far as I'm concerned, it is.
It's Michael Sheen.
play David Bowie.
Andrew, you know what's really funny when you said that, right? When you gave that intro, literally, for that this whole time, my face has been contorted because I'm trying to remember when David Bowie is in this movie.
Oh. I've always said from the get-go that Michael Sheen just put on his best Ziggy Stardust act and went to that movie. And I love him for it.
That movie is really bad. No.
Tron is still awesome.
If that movie is also very bad. If Kaczynski can get Daft Punk to score the Oblivion movie, I am officially on board.
Okay, so hold on. We've been talking around
but
this
without
point.
That?
Can you remind me, is Tom Cruise in this movie?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I'm on the
right. And Morgan Freeman.
Without that confirmation.
I don't like Morgan Freeman as much as people say I should. Right. Just
without that confirmation of Daft Punk scoring this movie, I'll have to go based on the trailer. The trailer is okay.
Yep.
There's things about the trailer that made me laugh for all the wrong reasons. The lady in the spaceship thing, she's supposedly a soldier, but she's not in any soldier garb that I can think of.
I thought
she
was
is the commander person that is talking to Tom Cruise. They're there. Stop it. They're there to kill the remaining aliens and resuscitate these drones, and she's in a tight white suit, which makes no sense. She also has a boom mic thing. It is years into the future, and she has the thing that Andrew has on his face now, which cannot make sense. Why would they have that? Tom Cruise doesn't have one. Why does she have one?
Yeah.
So, like, and the fact that they don't show us the aliens. Why? It's a 2-minute trailer.
We got some alien dog looking thing.
Yeah, but what? Just show us. If the CG work isn't done for the aliens, that's fine. But then just skip that part of the trailer. But then there's things that I like. I like the first time we see Morgan Freeman when...
because he blows out
he
a
lights
match.
A match. And you just
and
see...
Looks
it looks yeah. awesome.
Come on.
It looks awesome.
But you know that is...
A frame of a scene.
And that when you actually watch it in context, it's not going to be awesome. That's how trailers do that shit.
But they did it effectively.
I'm very sad about this trailer.
I like the futuristic thing. I like post-apocalypse movies. Yeah. Everybody knows that. And I still like Tom Cruise. Sure,
me
he's
too.
Crazy.
Really, do you? I thought you didn't like him.
I don't know. I have issues with some of his movies, but on a whole, I like Tom Cruise. He's a good, especially in his action. His action movies are really good.
I agree, and I'm usually in the minority on that one, most of the time. But
outside
of
movies, he's a lunatic. But I don't know Tom Cruise the person.
Exactly.
I only know the lunatic on the screen, and he's terrific. Even that last Mission Impossible movie.
Oh, that movie
good.
Was awesome.
No.
Yes, it was.
Nope.
okay.
I still haven't gotten over Tropic Thunder. I still think of him as that character. And I'm like, you've
fine.
Given yourself like 2 decades of cred with that character alone.
That helps.
Yeah.
That helps a lot.
Yeah, I've forgotten about
it. And while I didn't like War of the Worlds, which is the one that I point to whenever I talk about Tom Cruise hate, it wasn't him that was bad about that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was
just
the story
end.
That was told.
Well, it sounds,
specifically
sounds
the
like
end,
the ending
and the
was
ending
really
was,
what you...
Oh, wow.
So if
no,
they,
there's
if they
other
made
things,
a different ending, would you
no,
still
no, no,
hate
there's
it?
There's other things in like the middle of the movie with the son that went away. And I mean, there's ridiculous things that happen, but the ending is really weak. But he was not... I can't blame Tom Cruise for that. And I didn't... Even after that movie came out, I wasn't like, you know, Tom Cruise is the worst. I still like Tom Cruise. And the hate for Tom Cruise is jumping up and down on the couch and Katie Holmes, lunacy. But I don't know any of that, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But the movie... This trailer for Oblivion, which every time I say Oblivion, I think of Elder Scrolls.
Me too. People started posting online saying trailer for Oblivion, I'm like, when did Elder Scrolls get a movie?
Even though
I still haven't beaten Skyrim.
You're a crazy person. Even though I don't have any knowledge of what this movie outside of the trailer is about. The trailer looks interesting, and Tom Cruise knows how to make action movies, and so I'm still really like, this is not one of the high ups. I'll watch this movie, but only because I'm pretty sure whenever it comes out, it will be the only thing to watch. But if it was a choice between this and some other movies, I'm pretty sure this would fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
Hopefully, though, although we say this with most things, hopefully this movie is good. We rarely hope that a movie is terrible.
This is true.
Is it weird that when I saw this trailer, when you got that shot of Morgan Freeman lighting the match, that's the point where I went, oh hell, this movie's probably going to be bad?
No. That's not weird at all. Because we've seen stuff like that before, and I think there's a way to cut an action movie trailer, and this is not the way. That Die Hard 5 trailer, where it was just things blowing up for 90 seconds, that is how you cut an action trailer. Where you pretend that people who are coming to watch this don't even know what a story looks like. Just there for the action. And I think
the weird part is I don't think they're really selling an action movie. I feel like they're kind of doing a I Am Legend / Moon kind of movie. The loner out in the land just trying to find whatever he finds kind of movie. And you wouldn't cut an action trailer to that. It wouldn't make any sense. But as you say, I'm kind of in your camp where I'm like, I'll watch it because it looks relatively interesting, but if you put it up against 5 different Oscar contenders, I'm probably going to forget it exists.
Yeah, I think that's really unfair, because this is not Oscar anything. I still think that this is one of the holdovers from the first Matrix. That was a pure action movie. The trailer that they cut for that movie was bullet time and then people shooting other people. But the story in that movie made so much sense to crazy people that they thought that was an integral part of making good action movies. And it has continued ever since. But the action movies that we've fallen in love with don't have Taken has a shell of a story. And we absolutely love that movie. What is the story of Taken?
It sounds like, as I was saying it in my head, it sounds very much like a caveman story.
Man take girl.
Right.
Father get girl. Father kill man.
Like, that's it.
No.
Father has skills.
With the exception of I Saw the Devil, which is like the revenge thing Taken to a extent that it should never have been taken to.
Right.
All the Korean action movies that we saw and love were simple A B. Thing happens at start, revenge. That is it.
It's very but that's simple. Why Mother is the best, because it's more.
That is where you're wrong.
But Mother's not a revenge film. Mother's a cop film.
Mother is weird.
Mother is awesome.
No, we're not having a discussion of whether or not Mother is awesome, because we've had that already, and it is awesome.
Yeah.
But I think people need, because even with Equilibrium.
Oh, rewatched that this week.
They told some story. Do you remember any of it? No. You do remember Gun Cutter. and you'll remember so, that until you are dead.
So I was rewatching that movie this week, actually. It's on Netflix instant, and I'm like, oh, I haven't seen this forever. So we all have seen it, and we all love that final scene, yes. The sword fight scene, right?
Taye Diggs.
Is it weird that it's the first time I've realized that there's this shot when the scene is over, all of that scene in that room is over, and Christian Bale walks out where they have like an overhead shot, and you can see Taye Diggs' face on the ground?
Yep.
I didn't realize
that.
I saw
that. That movie is so awesome.
It's so bad.
So aggressively awesome. They told some nonsensical story.
You're watching that scene where Taye Diggs drags in Christian Bale, and you're like, you're kind of emotional right now, sir. This is orchid logic-wise.
Oh, yeah, no. Have you not seen all of the interviews? Because I had the DVD for a while. Do I still own it? I don't know, whatever.
I have the DVD.
Oh, that's why. Okay, I was probably watching yours. And they have on their interviews, and the director, you know, he sounds all pretentious, you know, whatever, and he's like, yes, you know, they're not really supposed to have any emotions, but what I thought was that if they don't have any emotions, then nobody's going to care about the movie, so they needed all sorts of solutions. So, you know, apparently it was a choice.
Where was that in the movie? Nobody cared. Yeah, even Avengers. What was the story of Avengers?
But anyway, we're on a very wide tangent. So let's talk about a trailer that I still haven't talked about.
Fine.
Which is Oblivion. And this trailer is not that great. It's kind of average. And I am very worried. Oh. That it is actually promising also a pretty just average action movie. Alongside Damien, I'm a Tom Cruise fan, I'd say that. So I, of course, hope that it's going to be good and probably will watch it in the hopes that it's good, but I am definitely not convinced.
Do we think Jack Reacher is going to be good?
I'm looking forward.
But none of those trailers look good.
I am putting my faith in Christopher McQuarrie.
Fair enough. The final trailer that we'll talk about.
Hold on.
Yes.
I'm going to ask, and I know it's already in your minds more than likely.
Right.
I have done it for the previous two trailers, but let's not talk about the director to begin with.
Sure. All right. Fair enough.
Right.
Right.
This movie is called After Earth. It stars Will Smith and his son Jaden Smith, and they seem to have crash-landed on Earth.
This is a Class 1 quarantined planet. The threats we will be facing are real. Everything on this planet has evolved to kill humans. Every single decision we make will be life or death. We are going to survive this. You must realize that fear is not real.
Douglas, what did you think of this trailer?
The After Earth. The After Earth?
Yes.
We are family. I didn't know that was his son. I guess it makes sense now that the whole way through the trailer I was thinking that guy kind of looks like Will Smith.
Yes, it's the same child from The Pursuit of Happiness.
Oh, wow.
Isn't it the same kid
from Karate Kid if it's Jaden?
Yep.
Okay. This trailer, you know, I think I'm just biased. I'm very biased, right? Because we're not going to talk about it yet, but there's a specific person that is attached to this film that
I think you're avoiding you're breaking the one rule I just made.
That we as a podcast are
just said not to do this.
No, he just said not to say who the director was.
No, that is not what he said.
And see, I wasn't even going to say that it was the director.
Talk about the trailer. Ignoring who the director
was. But I can't. Because I can't ignore it. No, wait. No, I'm going to continue because I started. And I don't...
Starting
finish.
Unless you finish. You will finish unless you start.
All right, Damien, go ahead. So... I have a big bias here, and I think that is weighing down on this trailer. Okay. I definitely look at this trailer and have a lot of question marks. Not in terms of unanswered questions, but in terms of, is this really going to work? Is this really going to be a good movie? And can Will Smith pull off what looks to be another I Am Legend? Alright, no, I'm not allowed to say who this is what? Because this bastard
I'm sorry,
he has already put it on
I haven't said a word. Damien,
right?
Damien, what did you think of this trailer?
I'm not finished.
I thought you were finished.
Fucker. Okay, so yeah, no, I mean the trailer by itself, if I was to try, right, and pull all of my bias, my deep seated bias from this analysis. Some might say that. I would say that it definitely shows a lot of potential. But it really does hinge on the performance of these two main characters. Will Smith has shown that he has the potential to do this. He may not. Will Smith is not the best actor. I mean, I love Will Smith.
How dare you?
I love most of his movies. Oscar but Will Smith is pretty good.
Did you see Men in Black 3? Right, that's
no, Andrew.
Did you see Ali?
He is the greatest of all time.
Hold on, sorry.
Boring movie of all time. How do you make the greatest boxer of all time the most boring man?
Oh my god. You just slow down the way you talk, son. That's how you do it. Anyway, so yes, this hinges on the performance of two
I don't
characters.
Think that's what this movie hinges on.
Well,
but we can't talk about what I think.
There you go. Exactly. One might argue that it's clear there's going to be a lot of CG action, and so that will at least, if there is any weakness in the acting, that will at least push you along, you know. But
ooh, pretty pictures.
Yeah, but something tells me, seeing as who did this, that it's gonna be an acting based thing. And Will Smith can, let's say, three quarters handle that, I think. I don't know about this young star.
Is it weird that I don't think Will Smith will be in half of this movie?
Yeah, that's another thing. It kinda did look like they separate, and that could pose problems because I don't want to watch a movie. I don't want to watch Castaways starring Jaden Smith. I really don't. Okay?
Damien?
So please don't do that. Yes, Damien.
I'm just coming up with puns for a certain person. Getting carried away. Things about nighttime. Shamans. This trailer is pretty good. In fact, I'd go as far as to say this trailer is getting me very excited about this movie. One, I enjoy Will Smith's voiceover in the trailer. Two, the action in the trailers looks good. And three, I like the premise of the movie. They come from outer space. For some reason, they have crash-landed on Earth. They're clearly separated, and they have to, I guess, survive until help comes or whatever the case is. And so, taking the trailer by itself, it looks really interested. I definitely want to see it. I have a Will Smith bias, which is obvious. But that is outweighed immediately by Jaden Smith.
Would you say that there is perhaps another factor that is outweighing
Will Smith? All of that, sure. Jaden Smith is one. And then there's something else. But the trailer on its own, it looks, first of all, it's far better than the Oblivion trailer, which, if I'm going to watch that based on the trailer, which I'm not really, but...
No. There's something to be said for allegiance to certain people involved in the project.
Sure.
And something to be said about a certain hatred, is that the word that you use?
Hatred is the word.
For people associated with other projects?
I feel like Douglas is trying really hard.
He really is. But the trailer looks... I enjoyed this trailer. And my fear is that this is the last thing I will enjoy about this movie.
No, I'm sure there'll be other trailers.
Part of me is really hopeful about the thing that we dare not speak of. But I'll wait until we get there. Andrew Robinson, what did you think about this trailer?
So I'm going to say that I agree wholeheartedly with what Damien said in relation to this trailer. And the only added fear is that what I said a little bit earlier is that I truly believe that I doubt Will Smith is going to be in this movie for more than like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's a bait and switch.
Yeah, it looks like it could be a very interesting movie. But I'm about to pull the rabbit out of the hat, and something I find very interesting about this trailer is that this movie is directed by the one and the only M. Night Shyamalan,
the Twist Master.
But the I twist find it ridiculously interesting
in the trailer
that there is no mention of any kind to the fact that he directed this movie within this trailer. There's so many trailers in which we see from the director of, or directed by, or person who was involved with. There is absolutely no linking M. Night Shyamalan's career to this
because
film in the
they
trailer.
They are hiding it. They know that if even for a second the general public gets a whiff of who is making this.
By the way, just a
they quick, will murder
just
him.
A quick update. Yes. He also has writing credit.
I know that. I knew that from the beginning. What I'm hopeful for, though, is that M. Night's fall from grace has been swift and aggressive.
That right? Happening in Avatar.
They, even people who wanted to like his early movies, tore him to shreds for the happening and, of course, the lesser Avatar. not James Cameron's, M. Night's. What I'm hoping is that he has gotten his reality check, and I really don't see anywhere in this movie where he's going to be able to put in some twist. I will say a twist coming anywhere, so let's hope for the
twist
best.
Is
the
twist is Will earth. Is Jin.
Alright, shut up.
Oh, God damn it. Stupid nonsense.
They rip off Planet of the Apes and they really went into the past.
Can I stop talking to Andrew now? I'm hoping that
they're ghosts.
His ego has been put down to where I think it was supposed to be, which is non-existent. We've had conversations about this Supreme Rocks already. He is the Asafa Powell of movie making. he did one thing special once and has been living off the glory for time and all eternity.
I want you to take that. No, hold on. I want you to take that back.
Okay.
Asafa Powell.
Mm-hmm.
is
he used to own, he used to have a world record, didn't he?
Yes, he did. But
and I used that piece of paper to wipe my ass. No.
But no, at least Afafa Powell is still in races on the top level, right? So while he does not compare with number one and number two and number three, he is about number six or seven. This is not where M Night is not anywhere near that. So I would like you please to recall your last statement.
My hatred of Asafa Powell is the same as my hatred of M Night. So I refuse to retract that statement. They are both exceedingly rocks for different reasons. M Night is actually rocks. Yes. Asafa Powell is probably the fastest man on the planet and will never prove it to anybody ever.
So what you're saying,
because
Damon,
he's actually rocks. Yes.
So what you're saying, Damon, is he's just like Gervinho.
No, because Gervinho is not the greatest striker at any point. He will never be the greatest striker. Asafa Powell should have been the greatest runner of all time. Yeah, he but he's a phenomenal rock. Andrew, remember when we used to play earlier versions of Pro Evo? And I would let people win or at least come close. But when it came time to prove who was better, there was never any question. I would destroy everyone around me because I was better at it than everybody. Now imagine if every time someone tested me at that, at Pro Evo, I would capitulate. I go, I'm clearly better than all of you, but when it's time to prove it, I disappear. M. Night, so that is why I hate Asafa. I don't think M. Night has ever made a good movie. Right?
No, that's not true. No. That's not true.
We had the conversation already, right? You guys think that Sixth Sense is a good movie.
Yes, it is.
And I disagree with you.
The Village is also a
you are incorrect
bullshit.
150%.
I love The Village.
Even if I give you
Sixth Sense
and Unbreakable, which...
I don't know about
that. I like neither.
I like movie. Unbreakable.
It's okay.
Even if we give all of those... Post those two movies has been a train wreck.
Train wreck, agreed.
And I am 100. I haven't seen him come out with any more interviews. He hasn't been attacking people on the internet anymore. He has been put firmly in his place. And I'm hoping that now he can take a step back and go back to directing decent movies without his ego being... I'm pretty sure now if someone says M. Night change that, he's going to change. If a studio comes out and says, that is not going to work, the M. Night that went, I'm the master of everything, is now dead. He's sitting in a corner taking notes and going back and reshooting shit. So that is why I'm not going to watch this movie. Because when we heard that he was doing the movie, I immediately went, there's no way on earth to watch. And but that was right after Avatar came out and he was still on his high horse. I haven't heard of him since for good reason.
Are they planning to make any more of the last Airbender movies?
Have you lost your mind? Unless Chris Nolan signs on to it, they're scrapping that hold, at least for now. Nobody's even looking at making another movie about, because I haven't seen Avatar The Last Airbender, and a lot of people haven't seen that movie, but the ones who did, I've not seen a positive view of that movie anyway.
It's a horrible film.
You remember that Andrew Robinson went to Carib and watched The Legend of Chung Li? He did that on his own accord. We didn't bribe him or force him to do this.
Didn't he actually drag along somebody else with him?
No. I went to watch Meet Dave with him for that TV. Yes, for
but that was time. A good... That was a reason.
Yeah. It's still not a good enough reason to watch a movie. I'm scarred for life. Actually, stop liking Eddie Murphy instantly. started doing some revisionist history. Like, Delirious could not be that funny. Beverly Hills Cop, it's impossible. There's no way that guy made anything good ever. So, Douglas is never going to watch this because of M. Night hatred, which is valid.
Actually, I heard about something. I was listening to another podcast. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this one called The Cinephiliacs.
Yes, I have.
And I heard an episode in which one of the guests spoke about a film called, I'm sure I'm going to get the name wrong right now, but something to the effect of Burying the Secret of M. Night Shyamalan. Which I'm so fascinated by the way they describe it, which I have to find and watch now. It's apparently a fake documentary that was made during the making of The Village, which proposes all of these crazy theories as to M. Night Shyamalan, as to him being somewhat of an alien / superhero, and he brainwashes all of his actors so that they give pre-recorded responses in interviews, and it feels like a lot of the actors played along with this joke, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be a train wreck of a film, but the idea that someone thought this was a good thing to do fascinates me.
So, just to let everybody know, my next pick is Burying the Secret of M. Night Shyamalan.
Fair enough. Sounds like a plan.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
Moi, j'étais très... J'aimais bien qu'on me regarde. J'aimais bien sentir que je séduisais. J'aimais bien sentir que je les excitais. Mais après, ça m'ennuyait, en fait.
I decided to let us review Rust and Bone. For obvious reasons, I've been hearing about this movie pretty much since last year.
Well, the only question I have to ask you, Damien.
Yes.
Is are you OP?
Sadly, no.
No, the answer is yeah, you know me.
So, listening to the Only Movie Podcast.
Right, so Rust and Bone.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so...
I saw this movie at TIFF, Damien.
Right. So I've been hearing about this movie well before TIFF, and it is what happens every year. Towards the end of the year, we start getting the good foreign films being pitched at us. We get trailers and people talking and whatever. And so whenever we get these movies, we're promised at least a decent movie. And once again, this movie is one of the better foreign films that have come out since here. They know it. That is why they're pitching it to the rest of the world. It stars Marion Cotillard. She plays this dolphin trainer who has a horrendous accident, and the movie surrounds her and this other guy who is moving from job to job, but he was a bouncer one night and protected her, and so she now needs help because she's lost the use of her feet. They were removed, amputated is the proper word. And so she calls him to assist her, and the movie kind of goes on from there. There is nothing special about the story that is told. You know what is going to happen. These two form an unlikely bond, they fall in love, and things work out in the end. you have seen this movie already. You've not seen it executed this way. At least I haven't seen it executed this way. And that is what is tremendous about the movie. The devil is in the details. Douglas talked about Silver Linings Playbook, which is pretty much the same thing, but the broad story is not the issue. It's how the execution, you know, brings out what is truly great about the movie. Marion Cotillard can out-act anybody, anywhere. So her performance, me telling you that she's great in it, is like telling you that the sun is hot. The lead actor, his performance, I don't know his name. Not really an issue.
Matthias, and I can't pronounce his last name. I'm going to butcher it.
Exactly why.
Schoenaerts. Yeah, I'm sorry, it's French people.
Let's stop massacring the guy's name.
The guy who plays Ali.
Right. He is equally as good, and that is no small feat. The acting from the two leads are truly, truly great. Some of the best acting I've seen all year, and their chemistry is not the typical kind where immediately you see both of them and you go, oh, of course they're going to be in love at the end of the movie. And the things that she wants and the things that he wants are almost polar opposites, but somehow they find some middle ground and, you know, they become this couple. And there's things that happen throughout the movie that threaten the relationship, and there's things that happen that strengthens the relationship. And by the end of the movie, you see them go through quite a number of things and come out at the other side better. Again, not anything you haven't seen, but the movie, it is shot well. The only issue I had was there's a Katy Perry song, Fireworks. Or
oh yeah, like the second time that song comes up.
Right, I hate that song because the whole of last Christmas, that I work at a hotel, and so we keep a lot of functions, and without a doubt, that song was being played every single night for about 40 nights in a row. So it got a little bit on my nerves. It's a little bit, and by a little bit, I mean I hate Katy Perry now more than I hate.
So did you ever consider walking in and changing the MP3 file so that they would start playing Prince or something?
The only song that I think would have been more cliche is if they had played Eye of the Tiger. Then I might have had to turn off that movie. They took one step back and put the Katy Perry song. But if you're a fan of Katy Perry, it won't matter to you. I found it terrible, and so that's my only knock against the movie. And that is impressive because the movie is 2 hours. It disappears like all great movies. I've watched longer episodes of 30 Rock than this movie. It starts, it goes. There's a period where she's going through the depression phase after she's lost the use of our legs. When I saw the trailer, I had fear that they would have lingered there, but they don't. You see that, of course, she's sad, but then they pick up and the rest of the movie just kind of flows all the way to the end. There are some choice lines and some choice scenes that make the movie special. There's a scene where he's standing outside of a gym. The girl is having a smoke. He says, "You okay?" And then they cut straight to him banging her in some hallway. And there's things like that, that if you don't see the movie, you don't really get a sense of why, you know, that scene would be great. But it sets up this character so well, and you just see them develop both characters and their relationship, and the movie is great. It's clearly one of the year's best movies. one of the year's best foreign films. I can see this movie getting nominated for up and down for all of the Oscars. But in fairness, though, I haven't seen that many foreign films. There are some others that I'm trying to get a hold of, but of course I live in Jamaica, and so it's probably never going to happen. But if you get a chance to see this, you should really seek it out. It's pretty good. Andrew?
Okay.
How do you feel about this movie?
I feel... I like this movie a lot, but at the same time, there are some parts of it that I feel were a bit too deliberate in how they attempted to pull the good old heartstrings. I feel almost like this is a slightly lesser version, but not exactly like frame for frame, but just a lesser version of a film like The Intouchables. And the thing for me is that I feel like the core and the thing of this movie that I am drawn to is the performance and the character of Ali. He has the mannerisms and the, sorry for using this word, people, the swagger that literally just makes you fall in love with him, no matter how much of a dick he is in scene to scene, because he does some horrible things every once in a while in this movie, just because he has this attitude towards everything, going like, it's almost as if he expects everyone in his vicinity to just behave on their own and live on their own. And it works in one sense and it doesn't in another. So for example, in the case of the relationship of him and Marion Cotillard's character, when she's in that depression stage, you can see that it does so much for her to have someone around her who isn't just at her beck and call, going like, oh, you're disabled, you need to be... He's there for her, but at the very same time, he's willing to treat her more as a person than as a disabled individual who needs five times the attention that any normal person would be. And it works. But then, if you look at the relationship between him and his sister and his son, there's so many moments where it's obvious he has no clue how to sustain any of these relationships without coming to a head. It's crazy. The Katy Perry thing bothered me the first time I saw the movie. It bothered me even more this time. But most of the moments where we have basically the progression of Marion Cotillard's character from when she loses her legs, to the Katy Perry song, to she finally gets her titanium electric legs, whatever they are. It kind of felt very heart-tugging a lot, and I wasn't appreciative of that. I think one of my favorite moments, not so much favorite, but one of the key moments that I point to whenever I'm talking about this, is when she returns to the aquarium. SeaWorld, whatever you want to call it. And you see her out at the tank, tapping on the tank. And I kind of laugh at it, because personally, I know they don't quite say it out loud, but in my mind, I'd like to think that one of the whales ate her legs, and she's at the tank going, is it you? Did you do it? Or is it that one? And I find it funny, but the reason I'm laughing at it is because of how much I don't like the opposite idea, which is that it is this heart-tugging moment, and it just doesn't work for me. But overall, I feel like the character of Ali and how he moves around the world, it's enough to draw me in, and I did enjoy this movie a lot. That final scene, which I don't really want to get into right now, so good.
But Andrew, the thing about, you know, her tapping on the glass, haven't you ever had anybody in a serious accident doing something that they love?
I'm going to have to say sadly no.
Okay, well, alright. I can tell you from experience that even when something terrible happens, if it is something that they love, the people, they don't just go, oh, well, that almost killed me, so this
no,
is...
No, yeah, I'm sure, as I said, I laugh at it because I don't like the opposite, but I know the opposite is what's really happening. I know that it's her reaching out to this love of hers, but my heartstrings were pulled enough by Untouchables. There are no more strings there. The strings are gone.
Okay. Alright, so you're having a completely separate issue with this movie. But one thing we can agree on is that the movie is good. I don't really want to compare it with Untouchables because I like Untouchables for a completely different reason than I like this. Partially because Untouchables is about two terrible people who find a way to be terrible together. And this movie is kind of the opposite attract, finding some way to, to love each other. And so while it might seem similar, the movies to me feel very different.
The only similarity I really draw between them is that idea of not so much two assholes, but two people who definitely don't seem like they would do well together, but somehow their coming together is like the best thing that could happen for the two of them, and it's in that relationship, in the way that they treat each other, in what they can give each other at that time, which is what I kind of focused on when I was talking about that.
Okay, I can see that. I think I like Untouchables more, but that's probably because it was more comedy than drama. Rust and Bone is clearly a more dramatic movie. But that's just right now. I don't know, on repeat viewings, it might come out on the other side. But that's not to say that Untouchables is this far superior movie in, direction and acting and scope and all of that. They're kind of on equal footing. It's just a matter of preference. Definitely, I'd give, and again, this is kind of unfair, I'd give the acting nod to Rust and Bone, but...
Oh yeah, Ali wins it.
Right, there's... That character has more dimensions than both of the characters in Untouchables. But the movie... I'm just... Like, every year around this time, we have the same conversation when we say, we're glad that we get to watch these movies that most people wouldn't get to watch. And we kind of would hope that, a broader audience would get to watch these type of movies, but especially after what happened with me and Douglas going to The Master, I think that these movies reach their target audience, because, I mean, I don't like saying this, normal people could care less about these movies. The Master is tremendous, and of us saw that movie, while Alex Cross, which is
so
I haven't seen it, but it is dreadful.
Just to add fuel to this flame that you're kind of spinning around, on a complete and utter side note, and please don't let this go into the hatred spewing moment that it will inflame, but just to hammer your point further, I was having an argument with a coworker of mine who was positing an idea as to Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull being a good movie, while at the very same moment not having seen the first three films of Indiana Jones. So you're very right in the fact that movies like this reach their target audience and no one else, because those people don't care about art French films.
I live with people who I consider regular people, and there's a lot of times when I tell them, you know, watch this movie or watch that movie, and they just look at them and go, no. And when you ask them why, especially my sister always goes, you know, she just doesn't feel like watching that kind of movie. And if you press her and ask her what that kind of movie is, you don't get a solid answer. But she just thinks that these movies aren't for her. And I don't know where that mentality comes from. Because these movies are better than 90% of all of the movies that we see every single year. But when you point to them, the only time people seem to care about these types of movies, Oscar time, when they go, oh, I haven't seen this, and this. Right? And I said, Damien, have you seen any of these movies? And I go, yeah, I've seen all of them. And the one that is winning now shouldn't be winning. And they care for that moment in time. And if the next day I come to them and go, all right, this one, all of these awards, will you watch it now? They'll go, I just feel like something light. That doesn't mean anything.
I have something else I should tell you, but I'll tell you that after the podcast. Okay. Douglas. Is he alive?
Yes, Douglas is here. Andrew's talking to you, young man.
What did you think of Rust and Bone?
Yes, Douglas. What did you think of Rust and Bone?
I watched a movie.
I'm sorry? What did you think of it?
I watched that movie.
Okay. I'm sorry. What's the name of that movie that you saw?
I watched that movie.
So, I'd like everyone to know that Douglas Robinson managed to watch 8 to 10 movies this week,
and none of them were Rust and Bone.
Did not watch the movie we're reviewing, despite it being French.
Also, Douglas has literally not been listening to anything that right. anybody has been saying for fear of spoilers. So when Andrew was talking to him, Douglas had no clue what he was saying.
We did a pretty good job of not spoiling anything in the movie.
But yes, no, unfortunately I was unable to watch this one.
I'm sorry,
However, even before you said anything, yes. I had been watching out for it. I have been waiting for it, and I will watch it before the end of next week. Before the next podcast.
I'm sure you will know
this. All right, so back to you, Damien.
Yes.
I guess there's one real question I want to ask, and it's kind of something that I heard come up a lot in discussions about this film. It's based on a book, and in this book, apparently, they clearly separate the stories of the fighting and the Ali and his fighting and the girl and her legs. I don't know exactly how this ends up being separated properly, but that's kind of how it's been described to me. It's more clearly separated. I felt that this movie did a good job of bringing those stories together. It didn't feel very like, oh, we're in a different story now that we're out at the fights, versus, oh, now we're dealing with her coming out of her depression and figuring out how to be a person again. How did you feel about that part of the movie, those stories intermingling?
If you hadn't mentioned it to me a while ago, then even now that you're telling me, I still don't see how they would separate them. That is the question that I'm kind of battling with now. I don't see, because the movie did such a good job, I don't see where it is that they would have, you know, had her recovery on one side and him fighting on the other side. Where exactly would they have met in the middle? Is it just the OP stuff that kept them together? And but then she wouldn't have seen him in his kind of natural element. She'd have just heard these stories, but he would have had to be there with her during her recovery, and then just leave her and go fight. I guess that could work, but I think the movie did a expert job of not making that be an issue. You couldn't, I mean, you're telling me no, but I couldn't have seen that, you know. Of course, these two feel forced together. So whoever the screenwriter was did an expert job.
Did you enjoy the fighting scenes in general?
Sure, they were well done. They were tastefully done. It wasn't like a kickboxer or Van Damme type thing. They just had dudes punching each other in the face in the dirt. And it's pretty much what I like, especially some of the shots where they're not following their upper bodies. It's just, you see, like, it's slow motion shots of their feet moving around in the dirt, and it kind of looks like they're dancing, but you know exactly what's happening above that. So the director clearly knew what he was doing. He wanted to show that Ali was this aggressive guy, but he didn't want to overblow it. There's times when you see him, you know, being battered and him like punching other people, but it never feels, you know, gratuitous. That is the word I'm looking for. It felt necessary so that she could see that he was not, it wasn't just him being strong or him doing it solely for the money. He legitimately enjoyed fighting these people. And I guess that helped her to see that, you know, you can, even though the thing you do is dangerous, you can still enjoy it. And that helped her with her recovery. This movie is pretty good.
So, I guess here's the final benchmark that I need to know if it really passed for you. Mm-hmm. Is it on par or even better than his previous film, Un Prophet, which you kind of laud as like one of the greatest films you've ever seen?
Andrew, that is unfair. Andrew, we've talked about Un Prophet many times, and while this movie is great, it's one of the year's best, A Prophet is in a completely different league in terms of filmmaking and story. That movie is tremendous. It is like one of my 10 best movies ever. That is one of the few movies that I will hold up and say, There's nothing on our side. There's nothing stateside that competed with that movie. That movie just blew everything out of the water that year. And this is not on the same level. This movie is great. I don't want people to think that, you know, if you didn't like A Prophet, you won't like this because it's a lesser movie. Hopefully what you think if you hear this is that Russell and Bone is a great movie that you should see whether you liked A Prophet or not. I don't know who are these people that don't like A Prophet, but if you didn't like it as much as me, you don't need to worry about that. It is a different kind of movie, and Russell and Bone is great, but if you loved A Prophet, this movie is good, but not up to that high water mark, I don't think. Definitely not for me.
Okay. I still posit that it's a very good movie. I don't think of it in the great genre. I'm talking about Rust and Bone now. But the performances are definitely worth every minute of watching this movie. If only we could cut out Katy Perry.
I think on repeat viewings, I like this movie more and more. I definitely, watching the other movie that we talked about, Intouchables, watching that a second time gave me greater appreciation for that movie, and I don't see myself liking Rust and Bone any less. But time will tell. If I find myself going back and watching this movie, then I'll know definitely just how highly I think of the movie. Because, like, A Prophet, I watched that. It's what, December now? I've seen that movie at least once every month.
Okay.
It's in the A section of XBMC, and
it's not under you. It's not Unprofit.
It's A Prophet.
Okay. But wouldn't the A not count? Wouldn't it be under P then?
No, the is the one that doesn't count. Counts.
Okay.
So it's right at the top. And when I start by rating, which I do many, many times, it is there. It is at the top. It is one of the few that have 10 out of 10. Is movies that are going and manually change the IMDb rating on are movies that I like a lot. FP, A Prophet.
There's
some other ones.
So I guess we can kind of end off right there. If you can find Rust and Bone to watch, definitely check it out, guys. It's a really great movie.
Watch more foreign films. Hello, if you're listening to this.
We hope they do.
can only hope.
Otherwise, thanks for listening. This has been the Unnamed Movie Podcast. You can find the podcast and all of the episodes over at gmanreviews.com, where I do all of my writing. It's also on iTunes. You can give us a rating. All of us are on Twitter. I'm at gmanreviews. Douglas is at DJ I Lost His Name. And Damien is at Damien _ White. White with a Y. I don't know if there's anything else we should tell them. What else should we tell them?
I look forward to 2013, provided that we don't die on the 21st.
I hope we don't die on the 21st, because my plane trip's on the 22nd.
I don't know. I think I've had enough of this earth. I've seen...
Can I not die in Trinidad?
I've seen it all. You know, I don't... What else? What else is going... Like, we're never getting solar.
We won't get to see The Hobbit if we end on the 21st.
Well, I saw the first, Lord of the Rings.
Okay.